This is your Polycast for Thursday, August 17th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, 3M CEO quits a White House panel. 3M CEO Inge Thulin is winning praise for his decision to leave a White House business advisory panel. Martin Moylan has more.
3M posted Thulin's decision on Twitter, and within about 5 hours, it had garnered some 2,500 likes and 1,000 retweets. Steve Hunnings is executive director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas. He says Thulin's decision was the right thing to do by Minnesota veterans.
It's the right move for it respects Minnesota veterans in history. And think about it, thousands of Minnesota soldiers killed in action fighting Nazism, 1st Minnesota at Gettysburg, all Civil War regiments fighting for the Union and abolition.
Thulin's move came after Trump argued this week that anti-racist protesters confronting white supremacists shared blame for violence in Charlottesville. Shortly after Thulin's announcement, Trump dissolved the advisory panel. Martin Moylan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
State Attorney General Lori Swanson has filed a lawsuit against two online loan companies that require military veterans and senior citizens to sign over part of their monthly pensions. Tim Pugmire has more.
The lawsuit alleges that Future Income Payments of Delaware and FIP of Nevada made illegal loans to veterans and seniors in Minnesota that charged annual interest rates of up to 200%. Swanson, who stood during a news conference with several loan victims, said the borrowers usually fell into further debt. Stephen Schmeltz of Minneapolis described the lenders as snakes in the grass for targeting veterans and their pensions.
They know that we need the money desperately. They know we have a fixed income, and they know that that's going to be a direct payment every month.
The lawsuit seeks to have all Minnesota loans voided and all payments refunded. Attempts to reach the company were not successful. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota's minimum wage for most employers will rise by 15 cents an hour in January, Brian Baxter reports.
This is the first time that Minnesota's minimum wage will rise automatically to keep it in line with inflation. It stems from a 2014 law change. The floor wage for large employers will rise to $9.65 per hour, up from $9.50 now. Smaller employers with revenues beneath $500,000 per year will be required to pay employees at least $7.87 an hour. That's also the minimum youth and training wages starting next year. The new wage rates were set by the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry, based on an analysis of the rising costs of goods and services. The agency says there are an estimated 250,000 workers in Minnesota who earn less than $9.65 per hour. Minneapolis leaders this summer approved a $15 per hour minimum wage to be phased in over 5 years. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
A new report says the St. Paul School District should step up its marketing efforts to increase enrollment. Solveig Wastved reports.
St. Paul parent and consultant Katie Stearns recommends that the district should expand preschool and music and art. She says the district should focus on recruiting kids who have fewer needs and cost less to educate.
We do not get adequate funding from the state. We do not get adequate funding from the federal government to provide for the needs of many students within this district. We historically have offset those shortfalls through redistribution of revenue that comes in through students who don't have as high of a cost.
But Stern's report does not have data on income or needs of students leaving the district. The most recent information on why parents leave St. Paul comes from a 2015 survey with a low response rate. District officials say the report will be considered as part of strategic planning. Solveig Wastved, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The Minnesota chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations says anti-Muslim hate crimes are rising sharply this year in the state. The latest incidents are a death threat against a congressional candidate and anti-Muslim taunts in Wilmer. Mark Stile has more.
The most recent incidents follow what have become almost weekly events in the state. In the last month, there was an unsolved bombing of a mosque in Bloomington and vandalism at a Twin Cities Muslim cemetery. This week, 1st District Congressional hopeful Regina Mustafa of Rochester was the target of an online threat. The unidentified commentator said she would be shot. Mustafa says she expected this sort of thing might happen when she entered the race, but the actual comment was disturbing.
I determined it was definitely enough of a clear threat to my safety that I needed to call the Rochester Police Department. It's very troubling.
Mustafa says friends have offered to provide security for her public appearances. She says she'll accept those offers. Legally blind, Mustafa says it's almost impossible for her to assess security risks on the campaign trail.
I want to take precautions, and I have to be extra careful as I go out, but I'm not going to let it deter me from this race, and I think that's what they want, rattle me up so much that I do drop out of the race.
Mustafa says people seem more emboldened to act out their hatred since last year's presidential campaign. She believes President Trump's comments on race relations, including his statements about the recent violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, have given people permission to express hatred. The incident at the farmers market in Wilmer happened last Saturday. Ben Larson heard about it from people who witnessed the harassment. Larson says they were part of his program teaching minority youth how to grow food in gardens and were selling vegetables when the man came by.
He was going by the stand a few times and flicked him off and was saying some nasty things about the Prophet Muhammad, and then later came back with a pig's foot and set it onto our vegetable baskets and said, here, try to sell this to you, effing Muslim.
The West Central Tribune newspaper says 61-year-old Wilmer resident Joseph Fernkiss was charged with disorderly conduct. Amir Malik with the Minnesota chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations says the charge is too soft. He says the individual should be charged with a hate crime.
It's clear that they're doing it based on religion. That's why we would put it as a hate crime.
So far, prosecutors have not said if they're considering a hate crime charge. Congressional candidate Regina Mustafa says she's received a lot of support from friends and supporters. She says that's what it takes to defeat hate.
We will stand up and we will call for greater action and we will get through this.
But in light of recent events, that goal may be a long way off. Mark Stile, Minnesota Public Radio News, Worthington.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.